Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia. Greetings, Anhotep. Welcome to the Curator Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 coming to you straight from my studio. Welcome to another segment of Moses. Moses, Moses, what does he do? Thank you so much for joining us. Those of you who have been here before, we'd like to welcome you back. And for those newcomers, we'd like to say, Habari Gani, come in and sit down and commune with us as we talk about the benefits of having a healthy lifestyle and utilizing organic supplements. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so very much for joining us as you enter into the Talking Care Room. We are about to place our signatures up on the water, and we'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. We'd like to thank you for being a part of this segment. As you come into the room, make yourselves at home and join us. For those new people, we are a consciousness room, and we are underwritten by Project 2019. And we are family and consumer science room, where we work on researching areas that pertain to the family. And our topic this month, and we're giving you a sneak preview, Moses, Moses, what does he do? We're talking today about the Rural Woman's Project. And thank you so very much for joining us. I'm sure that you will find something that will enlighten you that you hadn't learned about before. And for those newcomers, put on your Rural Woman's hat and come on in and sit down. We're going to invite you in to go over to the Talking Care Room as we begin to start working on sending out the signatures on the water. This is a ritual that we do so that this is to keep in contact with our ancestors. Now, I'm going to remember that it's very important that I hallow the space and set the space aside. And we've sanctified the space, but I'm going to remember to purify myself. So just bear with me as I go into meditation and I begin to permeate from a being of a consciousness so that God can speak to me and through me. As I begin to meditate, you do the same thing. And if you find the heka, a word of power that you might want to use, and it's sort of like the om, like the sound of the name of God, om. That word is used in the word God. So those are some things you can use before you purify yourself. So I'm going to go over and wash my hands and purify myself, and I'm going to set the space aside and hollow it up. It's very important that I should get myself cleaned up and making sure I'm purified. Usually I have a priest that comes and help me to get purified, but because our priest is no longer here, I can't ask him if the purification is ready anymore. Now, what I will do, though, is I will do these things for myself, and I suggest that you do the same thing for yourself. It's very important that when you hollow out the space and you cleanse yourself of any negativity that you might have on your vibration that you have been carrying with you and that has been in your spirit. It's very important that you should do that particular ritual so that before you start to pour libation, things are hollowed and set aside. I'm going to set these two candles aside, these two candles representing my father's spirit, and I light it, and the candle representing my mother's spirit, and I light it. Now, I pour libation for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. The water in the background is rushing in, but please just ignore that. That is to calm this area and give us the proceedings that we need. I pour libation to the west and say Ashe. I pour libations to the north and say Ashe. I pour libations to the south and I say Ashe. And finally, I pour libations to the east and say Ashe. Now, as we pour the water, remember that the water is representing a special thing in our lives, and the water is neutral. But we're also looking at the fact that there is no one that is in disharmony with water. Water represents a calmness and a neutral position. So as we listen to the water we are going to throw the names out on the water, supernaturally visualize yourself throwing your names of your loved ones out on the water. These are signatures of our loved ones that we do not want to forget their names. And as I call their names out, call out the names of your loved ones too. As I call out the name of Clara Mae Jenkins, I say Ashe. I call out the name of Robert Jenkins, I say Ashe. I call out Tommy Pete Hardy, and I say Ashe. I call out Essie Pope, I say Ashe. I call out Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. I call out Tom Harvey, Ashe. Michael Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. As we pour the names out on the water, the names are the names that we're reconnecting back to the family because it is up to the living to stay in contact with the dead. We reconnect our families back together. Now you can call your heroes and sheroes. I call Shekaz Diop, Marcus, the Honorable Marcus Garvey. I call Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta King. I call out Zora Neale Hurston. I call out Nina Simone. I call out the Honorable Rosa Parks. I call out the honorable name of Marcus Garvey and the Garveyites. I ask them to come and to sit with us and reconnect themselves back to us as we complete this ritual. Our whole mission is to reconnect ourselves back to our traditional family life. We know that they have not died, they've just gone on the other side, and that they will meet us again. So we then begin to reconnect them back and tell them that we know that they are the closest things to God. Now, as I bow my head and I ask you to stand in a position of prayer, Father God, as we lift up our hands to you and bow our heads, we thank you for the substance that you've given us in our household. We thank you for the power of work. We thank you for the gifts that you've given each and every one of us. And you met the desires of our heart. And we ask that you would give us the desire to penetrate and make a difference in this world. Let us meet our calling. Let us be on the path, and let us be able to fulfill that which we came here to do. And, Father, let us not forget our promise to you and why we came to this earth, and let us be about our Father's business. Father, right now we anoint every household that is represented here, and every household, may the families be blessed down to the 1,000th generation, and may even those children that are yet in the loins that have not made it down the pathway yet, may they be blessed immensely. May their households be blessed, and may the mothers and fathers be reunited and reunite their vows and come back together in holy matrimony. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, to stand before you. We thank you that we might let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. On thee do we wait, and on thee do we seek for help. Guide us on the path that is straight and narrow, and not on the path that has gone astray. And we thank you, Father, that we have begun to realize that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price, and we were here for your benefit to live out our lives through you. And we thank you that we might be able to praise you and magnify you and lift you higher, because you are truly worthy. Worthy as the Lamb, worthy as the Lamb. Amen. All right, thank you so much, family, for going there with me. I appreciate it. And our topic for this evening, once again, is the Rural Woman's Project. I talked briefly about it yesterday. I want you to be informed. I really want you to be informed. And let me make something clear here. This particular topic is not just for the African Americans to have good health. I wish that every man would have good health in all races of people. This is not a racist room, and we're not hollowing out just a space for the African Americans. We're teaching them, because remember, at one time, we were molested. We were not allowed to read or to write, and some of us are still ignorant, and some of us are still illiterate and don't have the capabilities of reading. So therefore, for the benefit of those people who still may be shut out of education, we identify the black family because that's who we are. But we have desires and hopes that all families will prosper. We are not singling ourselves out to separate ourselves. We know that Ephah is going to mend the world's broken heart, all nations and all denominations and all races of people. So when you get the idea that Omi's coming on here, putting everyone down and looking up to just African Americans, I accept all the prophets, Jesus, Buddha. I accept every one of the prophets. They are acknowledgeable. And I want you to know that I want help for the nation. And that's why I'm putting on this topic of Moses. Moses, what does he do? He's a sustainable carekeeper of the farmers. He creates opportunities like workshops and seminars. And he also offers up resource and referral of newsletters, also audio tapes, sessions where they have symposiums and workshops and seminars. Go out to the website and look up the actual website, and you will find that the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Services is one of the largest institutions in the Midwest. And the workshop that is about to happen, that's coming up in February, that is going to be one of the largest ones probably in the Midwest. And if you have not sought out whether or not they need more volunteers, you ought to, because there might be a discount for you if you become a volunteer. Now, I said might. Time is upon us. You might have missed the deadline, but go and check the website anyway. Now, this organization manages dozens of projects affecting thousands of farmers, women alike. So I want to get women in this movement by bringing on board the Rural Woman's Project. I have been assigned here to Indiana by the Moses organization to assemble women together who have interest in becoming rural women and working not only with farming, but aqua farming, dealing with fish that are farmed and grown in-house outside of a pond, and dealing with cultivating our greenhouses so that we can have meat and plenty of food, not only for our families, but at least three other families. Now, here is where we can do cooperative sharing, where we can preserve enough food and have it through the winter to help other families. Now, I don't know about you, but I came from a farming background. Here in Indiana, there are a number of us who have been engaged in farming, and we work on farms that we leased out. There were small farms here where chickens and guineas and pigs that ran around in our backyards in those areas. Now, I didn't have a farm like that, of course, because I didn't live in a small farm, but we did have farms that we leased out, and we harvest those crops and plant all sorts of vegetables. They weren't organic. We used fertilizer back then. We didn't know any better. We just put the fertilizer down because we thought it was going to help our crop to grow fast. Now that we know better, we can do better. We know about the certifications and regulations that will extend themselves to us to help us have healthy crops. And when our soil is bad, we now know through education that there is a procedure of treating that soil to break up that clay over a period of time to make it pliable and acceptable for those seeds. We also know that there are many companies out there that are reproducing hybrid seeds that don't have a seed in it at all. And that is dangerous because we want every seed to have its original seed so we can replant it. And if you find that you are running into seeds that don't have a replenishable seed, then you know you don't want to use those seeds because they might be hybrid. It's very important for you to understand that this is a family effort where you can get everyone involved in the rural women's effort and project by having your children get involved with your seeds and planting as well as cultivating the ground and making sure. Now, if you have a greenhouse, it's a little different. You can do your things in pots, and there are training classes that you can go through that learn how to set up a greenhouse and to learn the different types of homes that are available for you can grow your organic substance. You can even grow some organic things inside of your home, but you must transport and replant them in greenhouses if you are going to do a large substance of food. Now, I did speak of the aqua plantation where you're dealing with the fish. I want to get on that topic today because of our time constraints. But women, if you're a woman and you're interested in having your own eco-friendly business and you want to leave your carbon footprints as a woman, you ought to understand that this weekend, as a matter of fact, over at the there is going to be a workshop on the farming committee. And if I'm not mistaken, that is going to be at Christ Methodist, United Methodist Church over on 201 Ridge Road. And there is a meeting being conducted there for the farmers. And I understand that they even have hollowed out some land that they're going to start their farming with. Now, I don't have all the particulars on it, but that meeting is tomorrow. And tomorrow at 2 o'clock. As I said, Christ United Methodist Church. Now, I understand that there's a woman, a minister that resides there, and she's starting this mission. And it's very important that we should collaborate and network and come together so our efforts are not despicable where we've torn ourselves apart like the Willie Lynch theory and we've diced ourselves and sliced ourselves so we are no more earthly good because we can't connect ourselves. We have to understand, we have to know something about the earth. We have to understand that we have to have sensitivity to Mother Earth, and we have to be spiritual enough to know that the moon will affect our crops and that the moon has an indication of how and when we are to plant our seeds. So you cannot be a woman of harvest and not be spiritual. Because once you place the seed in the ground, there's a certain amount of faith that you have to reservoir in your mind in order to believe that if you plant pumpkin seeds, you're going to get pumpkins. You have to have a bit of a ability to rest your faith upon God and to be patient and wait upon the Lord, whereas you may plant a seed, There may be one that will come and water it, but God will give the increase. Now, most of you feel like this is old time, and this is not something that we ought to be involving ourselves with because we're high tech now. We're dealing with apps, and we're all into the technology. No, we aren't. We have to remember recycling is a must, and the carbon footprints that we leave behind not only means that we understand how to change a light bulb, but how to preserve and feed ourselves. India, and it was quoted by one of the agriculturals of the Secretary of State, that India is solvable where they can feed themselves very well, and they plan for the future to make sure that their country is fed. And they now are able to transport some of those foods out to other countries. They are a solvent country when it comes to their food supply. We ought to take a lesson from India. That's the Asian Indians. We ought to take a lesson from them, that they were conscious to realize that planting your own crop and preserving your own raw food is very important, because the life of the flesh is in our blood. And the life of the food, the whole food, has to be in the seed, and you cannot continue to plant crops that are devoid of trace minerals. You will only put food on the plate that is not alive. We want live substance foods with high counts of trace minerals and